Welcome to Where is God's Word with your host, Bruce Musselman, brought to you by the Mattaway Country Baptist Church of Aurora, Ohio. Bruce combines over 40 years of experience as a pastor, Bible teacher, and author. This program addresses topics surrounding the authority and inerrancy of the Bible. Here now with this week's edition of Where is God's Word is Bruce Musselman.
Well, the Bible says, "This is the day the Lord hath made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it." We have another snowy day up here in Parma, Ohio, in Seven Hills, Ohio, where we have the program. And as in our life, we go through times of winter, we get to go through times of trouble, we go through times of summer, and we go through different seasons in our life, but the Lord always remains the same. And Jesus said, "I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee." And so you may be going through a lot of things wherever you are in the world, but the Lord is here in Seven Hills. He's here in Parma, in Cleveland. He's here in China. He's here in Indonesia, Iran, Iraq, Pakistan, and all over the world where you're listening to us. And so we thank the Lord for that. And Jesus has said, as we've already mentioned, "I'll never leave you nor forsake you." What a wonderful promise that is. And if someone takes our physical life, the Bible says, "Absent from the body, present with the Lord." And so life is going to be even better, and we can say, "Thanks be unto God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." And so Paul says we are always caused to triumph in Jesus Christ. We know, we've read the end of the book, and it comes out that we win. And the Bible talks, God is eternal. His word is eternal, and that's what our program is about, that God has given us his perfect word. We can look at the perfect law of liberty, and we talk about where it is, and we'll be talking about that in a few minutes. But first, we have our scientist in residence, Pastor Brother Al, and he has a program, but he's going to give us the report on science.
Well, thank you, Bruce, and good to be with you again today. And want to mention, too, to remind people to check out your website, whereisgodsword.com. That's whereisgodsword.com. And on that site, you can find out more about Bruce Musselman, and you can see some materials that he references from time to time there, and some other materials by Bruce Musselman that are available at whereisgodsword.com. You can also listen to past programs there, and we try to get them uploaded. And so you can go and if you missed a program or you want to listen to one again, you can find them there at whereisgodsword.com. You can also hear Bruce Musselman singing there, and I think you're going to hear that a little bit on the radio broadcast here today, too. So if you like it, you can go to the website, whereisgodsword.com, and you can listen to him sing there as well. Well, I want to mention something, and I'll just keep this one kind of short because we got some things going on here today, but I just wanted to mention something I was thinking about the other day. I saw something online, somebody talking about God and the origin of the universe and everything, and we've talked in the past about Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, where it says, "In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth," and we've talked about how this covers the origin of everything, time, space, matter, energy, all of that is there in that verse. But this also really answers the question of where everything came from, because science, I should actually say logic, says that there had to be an initial cause to the universe, because and without trying to go through the whole logical progression, you cannot have an unending chain reaching into the past of this was caused by this, which was caused by this, which was caused by this, which was caused by this, because by definition, there would be no initial cause, so the whole chain couldn't have got started. So logically, there has to be a start, and scientists call that the first cause. And so as a consequence, people who reject God and reject his word, they say the first cause was some kind of forces, quantum forces, that brought everything into being out of nothing. Well, that means you believe in a pre-existing something with infinite potential. But the Bible presents us with God, who's an infinite being with infinite power. And this God, he exists outside of the universe. People try to limit God, and they try to put him in the universe and say that God is a function of the universe. People like a God that they can put on a shelf. They like a God that they can have sitting on an altar at church or something like that. That's what they like. They like a God they can wear around their neck. They like a God that they can control. But the reality of the matter is, God is the eternal existing, the great I am. And there was no space. There was no time. There was no matter. There was no energy until God said, "Let there be." And there was. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. You know, if God was in the universe and a part of the universe before he created the universe, how could that be? You have to have space in order to put matter. You can't put matter in nothing. It's got to have space, because otherwise, where would you put it? You have to have time. When are you going to put that matter? You know, I'm occupying, Bruce, I should say, is occupying a chair across from me that I occupied a few days ago, the exact same space, but a different time. And so both of us being, you know, a physical being, we occupied the same space, but at different times. And so got to have space. You got to have time before you can have matter and all these things. And so somebody or something had to create it. And I believe that the someone is God, the God of the Bible, that in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Logically, there has to be a first cause. And what better first cause than the God who reveals himself to us in the Word of God, the Bible?
Thank you for that report. It's always good. And I was thinking as he did that, the Bible says he hangeth the world upon nothing. And one day I saw this video on television, and they showed a picture of the earth. And the earth was being pictured from space, from a television camera in space. And you see this great big black spot there in the sky. And then right in that black spot, there's this huge colorful balls just sitting there on nothing. And there it is, just like the Bible said. I thought, how amazing. And it just shows us that our God's a wonderful God that could do that, and we are on this great big ball sitting there in the middle of space on nothing, and we have a great big God. And you know, I like old songs and I like new songs, but I thought today we'd do something different. I'm going to sing a song today on this program, and it's a song that was written about 3,000 years by King David, who was king of Israel, and he wrote the book of Psalms. And so somebody has put some music to it, and so we sing it today, and it's Psalm 25, and it goes something like this, and I'll try and sing it this morning. It goes, "Unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. Unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. O my God, I trust in thee. Let me not be ashamed. Let not my enemies triumph over me. Yea, let none that wait on thee be ashamed. Yea, let none that wait on me be ashamed. Oh my God, I trust in thee. Let me not be ashamed. Let not my enemies triumph over me." Well, the Bible says that if we're saved and we're born again, we will not have to be ashamed on Judgment Day, because all of our sins will be taken away. And I'm going to try to take this thing off right now and change it. So thank you. And so we can thank the Lord for that. And we can stand before the Lord God and not be ashamed, because we will go to meet the Lord without any record that we have ever sinned. And these promises are found in the Word of God. The Bible says he will confirm you blameless unto the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. And if you run the references, the day of the Lord Jesus Christ is the rapture when God takes us into heaven. But there's so many verses that say that says he is able to keep you from falling and present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. And so God has told us we'll meet him with great joy because there'll be no record that we have ever sinned because the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth us from all sin. And 2,000 years ago, he was punished on Calvary in our place and for us. And he lived a perfect life. And so when we put our faith in him and accept him as our Lord and Savior, repent of our sins, at that point, God counts the perfect life of Jesus to us, and he counts our sins to Jesus. And I tell you, you can't get a better deal than that, you know. In some churches, they get to shouting about that. And I'll tell you, if there's any time to shout and sing and praise God, that's it right there. I just can't help but think about it. As long as I've thought about it and long as I've known about it, and that's a long time, it still just touches my heart that I'll meet God without any record that I've ever sinned. You say, where does it say that? The Bible says, blessed is the man to whom God doth not impute iniquity. He doesn't count our sins against us. And you know, God has given us a perfect Bible, but today there's people all over the place that have tried to pull the rug out for us, and they don't believe we have a perfect Bible today. And you know, that's what this program is about. And I am convinced of one thing, that God is alive and well, and he gave us this program. And I am just absolutely astounded. Today we have a worldwide audience and thousands of people have contacted us on the website, and I never planned for this. It just all of a sudden someone invites us on, and it all comes together. Al comes, gets involved with us. Gary Meeks is a promoter, and he got involved with this. Somebody else says they'll pay for it. I think to myself, I'm not a rich person. I couldn't even afford 15 minutes on one station, and yet this covers the whole continent of Africa and goes worldwide. Because God Almighty wanted people to hear what we say on this program. And so we thank God that we have this opportunity. But we're saying today we have the Word of God. Now, our scripture verse today is found in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 17. For we are not as many which corrupt the Word of God, but as of sincerity, but as of God, in the sight of God, speak we in Christ. Now, first of all, it says there's many people that corrupt the Word of God. Not just a few, but many people that corrupt them. And we're going to show you some of the history of the corruption of the Word of God. Now, it says, but the Word of God endureth forever. So they can corrupt it, but the true Word of God will remain, because heaven and earth shall pass away, but my Word shall not pass away. So we have that today. And yet God's word remains, and that's what this program is, to talk about where is the word of God. And we'll start right off. We don't beat around the bush, but we have it in the Authorized King James Bible today. And so we're going to talk about the source of corruption, where the corruption is, and how we got it. Now, there's many books out today that show us. Now, if you want to find the corruptions, you can read the book called New Age Bible Versions. And you can look that up on the internet if you want to, in New Age Bible Versions, and it goes through 2,500 scripture verses that have been corrupted, where they have it corrupted in corrupt Bibles. But since God said he would preserve his words, we have it in the perfect Word of God also today. Now, we have another book called Hazardous Materials, and by Dr. Ripplinger also. And these books are 600 and 700 pages of documented evidence. And it shows you who is corrupting it. Now, in the Roman Church, they have the priests practice this, and they say, well, you don't have to read the Bible. You can just listen to us, and we'll tell you what it says. But we have Protestant priestcraft, too. We have evangelical priestcraft growing on today, and that's people that claim that they're going to the Greek. And I'm going to go into this now. For 30 years, I taught young men for the ministry. And I thought to myself, if I'm teaching them, I better get it right. And I better tell them the truth, because I'm going to answer to God for that. And so during the last 30 years, I have attempted to read every book on this subject that came out on the subject, pro and con, by everybody that I possibly could. And I have many of these books in my library, and we discuss these different books and these different writers. And when I was in college for a number of years, I studied Greek. And one day, at that time, the new ASV had just come out, and that was many years ago. And they said, well, the King James is good for its day, and so now we have a new translation that's out for today, and so we ought to use that when you don't, many evangelical leaders recommend it. So that was the New American Standard Version. So I thought, well, that makes sense. So I got a New American Standard Version out, and I started to read it. But it just didn't. There is something missing. You know what was missing? The power of God, the Spirit of God was missing in it. So I read it for a while, and I was going to preach out of it and everything, but then I put it down. I would pick up the King James, and somehow there was just power in it. And so then I read that for a while, and then I put that down, go back to New ASV. Finally, I left the New ASV down and just started reading the King James again. Well, some years went by, and I didn't pay too much attention to it, and then one day I picked up a New ASV. And I read there, it says in there, his father and his mother. It called Joseph Jesus' father in the new ASV, the New American Standard Version. Most of the modern corrupt Bibles do this in Luke 2:33. So I thought, what in the world? Jesus has corrected Mary in the very same chapter for saying, your father and I have sought you sorrowfully. Jesus said, I must be about my father's business. I thought, what's going on? So I went to my Greek New Testament that we had studied, and it said there, his father and his mother, pater and mater, called Joseph Jesus' father in the Greek New Testament. But then I checked, the King James Greek test didn't say that. See, one of the ways that they get Greek students, first of all, they don't tell them what Greek text they're using. Then they give them another Greek text that's not the King James with the English translation. It doesn't line up with the King James, so the student thinks, well, the King James is wrong. No, the King James wasn't wrong. It was using the wrong Greek text that they were looking at. And so I tried to, where in the world does this come from? So I began to study it. It took me a while to find out. But I read Ira Price, the University of Chicago, and Kenyon from England. They were the leading writers on the history of the text at that time. Both of them said that Nestle's 23rd edition, or Nestle's Greek text, came from the Jesuits, Roman Catholic Jesuits, and they stated like everybody knew it. And, the Jesuits were set up to overthrow the Protestant Reformation. I was quite amazed when I heard this. Now, I talked to a preacher one time, and he said, well, I go by the Greek text. I said, what Greek text are you talking about? This guy had studied Greek at a leading fundamental school for 4 years. That was the end of the conversation. He didn't know what Greek text he was using. There's as many Greek texts out there as Carter has little Liverpools, or pills, little liver pills. Get that right. It's a tongue twister. And he didn't even know what Greek text he was using. There's all kinds of false Greek text out there, see? And so you may say, and I call them today the chaos cult. They all say the Greek, you know? Well, there's dozens of Greek texts. Now, there's one text that has come down to us called the Received Text. Now, the other day I was reading a book of answers by a leading writer that's supposed to give you answers, and here he makes a statement that is taught to practically all the preachers today, and is the statement, I got to say, is right out of hell. And that statement is, he states, no translation is inspired. That's what he says. And that's the basis of the Greek departments. No translation is inspired. Well, what about the translation that Moses, when he wrote the books of Moses, of Pharaoh's words? What about the New Testament translation of the Old Testament? Was that inspired? On the day of Pentecost, when they all spoke with 13 different languages, and it mentions, was that inspired? Well, of course it was. They were given the gift of tongues. And the gift of tongues was not a revival of Babel where everybody's making a bunch of sounds nobody understood. No, God was giving them the word of God in the languages of the day. And there was 13 languages mentioned, and the gift of tongues continued on until James said, that which is perfect is come, that which is in part shall be done away with. There, Paul said this. What is that? The perfect Word of God was given, and it was given, it mentioned 13 languages. It was given in the ancient languages, and those languages were preserved by God. And first in Acts, it says the Word of God was given, then the Word of God increased, and then you read the Word of God went worldwide. And so the Word of God was kept by God down through the ages. It was kept in the Syriac Peshitta. It was kept in the old Italic that came out before the Vulgate. It was kept in the Gothic. Many of the words in the King James Gothic are from the Gothic. And it was kept in the Koine Greek. And the King James translators translated it from these ancient languages that God had given the translation and preserved those words. And the Bible says the Word of God today is more sure than seeing Christ in all his glory and hearing the voice of God out of heaven. But not if you listen to so many preachers. Every preacher has a different version, and these versions disagree in thousands of places. Now, God has told us over and over in hundreds of places about the Word of God so we can find. It says the Word of God is powerful. Every revival that's come always comes through the King James. D.L. Moody, you know what D.L. Moody said? And they're celebrating that today at Moody Bible Institute. They ought to listen to what he said, and he's criticizing the Greek professors, and he's criticizing people that correct the scripture. And he says, for Christian unity, receive the Bible as it is. And he's talking about the King James. He was a King James believer. Billy Sunday defended the King James. Spurgeon defended the King James. Finney defended the King James. All of these people that God had used. And today, you hear on the radio people correcting that everybody has a different translation. The Word of God says, I beseech you in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ that you all speak the same thing. That is the Word of Jesus Christ. Speak the same thing. Don't use a bunch of translations that disagree. Do you hear that, professors at Moody Bible Institute? You say you're celebrating Moody. Why don't you believe today what Moody said? And I hear this all the time, and you're using all kinds of translations that disagree with each other. I listen to them read. They're not saying the same thing. They're not updating it. You say they found more manuscripts since the King James. Are you aware of the find at Oxyrhynchus in Egypt? They found hundreds of these ancient manuscripts. And you know what they did? The University of Caldwell, the University of Chicago, wrote on textual history. He was amazed to find they backed up the readings in the King James. God said, heaven and earth shall pass away. Now, when I started this study, I went to a seminary in Winona Lake, Indiana, and I went to the Greek department because they were majored in languages. And he gave me a paper on the Greek text. And in there it said God never said that he would preserve his words. I had read the New Testament many times, and verses just popped out of my head, and I said, this guy is wrong, and I was suddenly amazed. Why, God did say he would preserve his words. And the Bible says the Word of God liveth and abideth forever. Translation after translation comes out. They come and they go as soon as the millions of dollars of advertising ceases. The King James marches right on to 5 billion copies. And you know, you have translations all over the world. I realize you're listening to me from all over the world today. But you could check with the King James Bible, since you know English, a lot of you that are listening, and check with the readings. And I would advise you get New Age Bible versions. Sure, they talk against it because it brings out the truth. And in there, Dr. Ripplinger goes through 2,500 scripture verses and shows the changes that have been made and the implications. You know, today, over 99% of the ancient Greek manuscripts back up the King James. And the false ones come from Alexander, Egypt, put out by Constantine, who is worshipped as the sun god. And Constantine put out these ancient Bibles that were corruptions so that they would be acceptable to the pagans. And so they taught Christianity and paganism. And that's what you're reading in the New ASV and the NIV and these corrupt Bibles. And so you can go back to the King James and you'll read. You see, in the corrupt ones, they say, talks about the gospel of Christ. They take out Christ in there. And 1 Timothy 3:16, God was manifest in the flesh. They take out God and say, he who. And many, many changes have been made that are corrupt. But thank God we have it in the Authorized King James Bible. God bless you. When you read it, you're reading what Almighty God says.
You have been listening to Where is God's Word with Bruce Musselman. If you enjoyed today's program and would like to receive a free brochure that lists 100 references where the name of Jesus has been omitted from modern versions, we invite you to drop us an email at sos1611@gmail.com. That's sos1611@gmail.com. Where is God's Word is sponsored by the Mantua Country Baptist Church, located at 12385 Chamberlain Road near Aurora, Ohio. Pastor Murray Bay and the congregation cordially invite you to worship with them. Sunday morning services are held at 10 and 11 a.m. For directions or more information, please call 330-562-6600. That's 330-562-6600. Or write to the Mantua Country Baptist Church, 12385 Chamberlain Road, Aurora, Ohio, 44202. Tune in again next week at the same time for another edition of Where is God's Word with Bruce Musselman.